Genesis chapter 3, beginning on page 2. As we work our way through Leviticus, we're going to pause here and consider a passage before Leviticus, and then next Lord's Day, a passage after Leviticus. It helps us to understand better Leviticus chapter 15 before we move on to Leviticus chapter 16. Genesis chapter 3. This is the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord. Woman is the glory of man, and the church is the glory of Christ. The wife is the glory of her husband, and you are the glory of Christ. For you are the bride of Christ. Woman is the glory of man. She was formed from him as the embodiment of his hope. We see this in Leviticus chapter 15. Where the woman's body is related to the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God with man. And this is man's hope, to dwell with God forever. The Levitical woman, she was the embodiment of this hope. Just as the tabernacle could not be approached in uncleanness, so also the woman could not be approached in uncleanness. For a man to enter a woman during her menstruation, it would result in their both being cut off from the people of God. Just as for one to enter the tabernacle in uncleanness would result in his being cut off from the people of God. In Leviticus, the woman's body was a symbol of the tabernacle. In Leviticus, the woman's body was symbolic of the dwelling place of God. Her womb symbolic of the most holy place, where God would one day be pleased to dwell. In Leviticus, the woman's body was symbolic of the tabernacle. The woman's body was symbolic of the dwelling place of God with his people. It is why the church is both the bride of Christ and the temple of the Lord. In Scripture, the church is spoken of not only as the bride of Christ, but also as the temple of the Lord. You are the bride of Christ. You are the temple of the Lord. It is why we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the temple of the Lord. In Leviticus, the woman's body was symbolic of these things. Woman is the glory of man, the embodiment of his hope. In Leviticus chapter 15, we have laws concerning man's approaching a woman. And in Leviticus chapter 16, we have laws concerning man's approaching God. Man's approaching a woman in Leviticus, it was a reflection of the people's approaching God. Man's entering into a woman in Leviticus, it was a reflection of the people's hope to enter into the most holy place of God's presence, to have life in God's presence. The consummation of a marriage between a man and a woman, it was a reflection of the consummation of the covenant between God and his people. It continues to be a reflection of the consummation of the covenant between God and his people. We will see later in Leviticus that this is the reason for God's laws concerning the relationship between man and a woman, concerning the definition of marriage as between a man and a woman. The consummation of a marriage between a man and a woman, it is a reflection of the consummation of the covenant between God and his people. In Leviticus, the drama of sex, it reflects the drama of the tabernacle. It reflects the drama of the liturgy. It reflects the hope of entering into the presence of God, of dwelling with God, unveiled. And so, as we saw last Lord's Day, the blood which flows from a woman, it also reflects the tabernacle. It reflects the blood shed in the tabernacle. A man could not enter a woman until after the flow of her blood had ceased. Just as the high priest could not enter into the most holy place until after the shedding of blood. The blood of the woman in Leviticus chapter 15, it anticipates the blood of atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. In both, what follows the flow of a woman's blood, what follows the shedding of sacrificial blood, was consummation, entrance into glory. The relation of the woman's menstrual cycle to the Day of Atonement, it is not introduced in Scripture for the first time in Leviticus. Rather, it is introduced in Genesis at the fall of man, on that day when atonement became necessary. what takes place in Leviticus chapters 15 and 16 is necessitated by what took place in Genesis chapter 3. What takes place in Leviticus chapters 15 and 16 is necessitated by what took place in Genesis chapter 3. And the tabernacle in Leviticus, it is a reflection of the garden in Genesis. The Garden of Eden, it was a temple. It was no mere garden. It was a temple of the Lord, the first temple of the Lord on earth. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the Garden of Eden is described in this way. It is spoken of as a holy place upon the mountain of God, much like the temple upon Mount Zion. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, "You were in Eden, the garden of God." Verse 14, "I placed you, you were on the holy mountain of God." The Garden of Eden was a temple. And what does every temple have? A priest. But who was the priest of the garden? Who was the priest of the temple in Genesis chapter 3? It was Adam. Adam was its priest. The Garden of Eden was a temple, and Adam was its priest, put there by God to work it and to keep it. The Hebrew words translated to work and to keep, they occur together in only two places in Scripture. The first with Adam in the garden, and the next with the Levites at the tabernacle. In Numbers chapter 3, God appoints the tribe of Levi to minister at the tabernacle and to guard it. The work of the Levites at the tabernacle is described as the work of Adam in the garden. It uses the same words used of the work of Adam in the garden. Just as the Levites were appointed to guard the tabernacle, so also Adam was appointed to guard the garden. But guard the tabernacle from what? From uncleanness. The Levites were to guard the holiness of the tabernacle, to keep it from being profaned. And so also Adam was appointed to guard the holiness of the garden, to keep it from being profaned. And when we recognize this, that the garden was a temple, that Adam was its priest, and that he was to guard its holiness, when we understand this, we understand what Adam should have done when the serpent entered the garden and profaned it by blaspheming God, by tempting the woman to transgress the word of God. Just as the Levites were to strike down and cast out anything which by its uncleanness would profane the tabernacle, so also Adam. He should have struck down the serpent and cast it out from the garden after it had profaned the holiness of the garden. Now the woman ate of the tree before Adam. But it was not the sin of the woman that led to the fall. The woman ate of the tree before Adam. But it was not the sin of the woman that brought about the fall of mankind. It was the sin of Adam that brought death into the world. In Romans chapter 5, it is not the sin of the woman that brought death into this world. It was the sin of Adam that brought death into this world. Why? Why was it the sin of the man, the sin of Adam specifically, rather than the sin of the woman? What does the woman say? Why did she eat of the tree? The serpent deceived me. She is not speaking disingenuously here. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul confirms the words of the woman. The woman was deceived. But Adam, he says, was not deceived. Adam was not deceived. And it was his sin that brought death into this world. And if we are reading Genesis chapter 3 through the lens of Leviticus, we understand why it was the sin of the man rather than the sin of the woman that brought death into this world. Remember Adam, he was a priest in the garden. And a sin has just been committed. The woman has just sinned. In Leviticus, what does a priest do for sin? He offers sacrifice. A priest in Leviticus offers sacrifice. He sheds blood for sin. The woman was the glory of Adam. Adam was her priest, but now she was unclean. A sacrifice was required. A sacrifice was required. Blood was required. But where was the sacrifice? In the words of Isaac, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the sacrifice? Adam was the sacrifice. Adam was the sacrifice. The sacrifice was Adam himself. Adam should have offered himself for the sake of his bride, that she might be cleansed, that she might be sanctified. But this Adam did not do. He failed to strike down the serpent. He failed to protect his glory. He failed to offer himself for his bride. And so after the fall, a woman's menstruation, the flow of blood signifying death, it becomes a continual reminder of the failure of Adam. It becomes a continual reminder of his refusal to offer his own blood for her. A reminder of his becoming a transgressor with her. Which is why in Leviticus chapter 15, a man could not approach his wife during the flow of her blood. He was no longer capable of offering himself for her. Both the man and the woman depended upon another. Both looked for another. The blood of another was required. The sacrifice of another was required. A second Adam, a last Adam, was required. In the Gospels, a woman with an unceasing flow of blood reaches out and touches the second and last Adam. And the flow of her blood ceased. Here was the one. Here was the one who could sacrifice himself for his bride. Here was the one who would sacrifice himself for his bride. Here was the one who could offer his own blood for her, for the flow of her blood to cease. Here was the one who would offer his own blood that the flow of her blood might cease. Here was the one to do what Adam failed to do. Here was the one who would give himself for his bride, that death might no longer flow from her, but that life might flow from her forever. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, What flows from the center of God's dwelling place? What flows from the center of His bride? Not a river of the blood of death, but the river of the water of life. Truly, all of Scripture, all of Scripture reveals Christ, the necessity of His death and resurrection. Woman is the glory of man. The church is the glory of Christ. The wife is the glory of her husband. You are the glory of Christ. As woman was formed from the side of man as his glory, so also the church has been formed from the side of Christ as his glory, from the blood that flowed from his side. You are the glory of Christ. It is why you were created. It is why you have been redeemed. It is why Christ gave himself for you, that he might present you to himself in splendor, that you might be his glory, that you might glorify him and enjoy him forever. The hope of Genesis 3, the hope of Leviticus 15, it is yours in Christ. It is yours by his grace. You are his glory. So glorify him. May he be glorified in all that you do. Amen. Let us pray.